So, this week, we are looking at key area number 5, relational help. If you want to take notes, page 122 and 123 is the place where you can take notes from the sermon. And I'm going to go through a lot of stuff sort of quickly, so you can always listen to it again online if you want. I usually put that up on Monday, all right? We are looking at relational help, relationships. Oh, important. Stuff that happens, it's a little confusing, all the relationships that we have, something we deal with every day. Everyone's involved in relationships. As I was preparing for this, it is my opinion that for me, and maybe for you, this is the hardest so far to deal with, relationships. Because we have relationships with so many people and so many kinds of people. We have our spouse, our parents, our children, our siblings, our extended family, our in-laws, our employer, our employee, our friends, and our enemies. I mean, we have relationships. And just like sometimes you see on a Facebook status, relationships are complicated, aren't they? They are very, very complicated. A huge percentage of counseling visits have to do with relationships. It's a giant subject. Causes so many problems and heartaches. But also relationships are a source of great joy and fulfillment in our own lives. So I can only touch on, I'm not going to like give you, you know, the 1, 2, 3 steps of, you know, you do these things and you'll have great relationships. But I'm going to talk about a few important principles this morning. There are so many difficulties in relationships because we are broken. And even those of us that live fairly easy lives and don't seem to have too many problems, we're still broken. Why? As a result of the fall. And that causes a lot of problems, the original sin. Yet we were created for relationships. God made both Adam and Eve to live together in harmony, in fellowship with one another and with God. And we are created in the image of God. And one thing it's very helpful to look at when we talk about relationships is the relationship of the Trinity. The Trinity, or the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three persons in perfect relationship. We don't have time to really explain it all, but there's the symbol of the Trinity there. When we look at the Trinity and the way God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit interact with each other, love each other, glorify one another, that is an example of a perfect, good relationship. And in the early church fathers like Tertullian and Ignatius, the early church fathers came up with a term to describe the intimate, eternal fellowship of the Trinity. And that term is perichoresis. It's a Latin word, a Greek derived word, perichoresis. Perichoresis describes the eternal, intimate fellowship and cooperation and love between God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You can read in John 16 and 17 where Jesus prays, "Glorify the Son, Father, that the Son may glorify you." No jealousy. John 16, Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit, when he comes, will glorify me." Perichoresis of the Trinity is the mutual love, the mutual submission, the unity of purpose and harmony that they enjoy. We are created in God's image. Therefore, we are created for mutually loving relationships. In fact, we were made for this. We are meant for this kind of relationship. Harmony with God and harmony with each other. This is how it was in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, which begins the whole book of Genesis, Genesis 2 and 3. In the Garden of Eden, there was no lying, there was no deceit, there was no hiding, there was no manipulating, there was no abuse. They enjoyed perfect companionship and fellowship and relationship. Adam and Eve, in fact, were said to be one flesh. Everything was great. What happened? The fall. The fall is what happened. Why are there so many barriers to healthy relationships now? Why is there so much deceit, lying, anger, friction, hatred, hurt between people now? The fall. Adam and Eve succumbed to temptation and they sinned. First Eve, then Adam. They both sinned. And that is known as the fall. We're going to look at the account of this original sin and find the barriers that we have to healthy relationships. Then we'll look at some keys to relational health. I want to emphasize, this is a big subject. I've only got like 12 minutes left or 15 minutes left or even less. So we're not going to solve it all, but we're going to look at the big picture, and I'm not going to give glib steps, but I'm going to give a couple of principles. But first we need to realize what are the barriers. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 19. And I'm just going to read it for you, the whole account of the fall. All right? So sit back and listen. Genesis chapter 3, I think I'll start at verse 6. You know that they were put into the garden, in the paradise, everything was good. God provided everything and they were free to eat from any tree in the garden, except one. What was that? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat of any tree in the garden, everything's great, you just can't eat from that because your eyes will be open and you will know good and evil. So God said, don't do that. Verse 6, when the woman, after having been tempted by the serpent, saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Well, where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Well, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "Well, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. You will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and I am between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it, then cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." All right. That's the account of the fall. The fall is a big deal. It is how sin entered into the world, through the temptation of Satan. The fall is the origin of your fallen nature and my fallen nature, of your sinful nature and my sinful nature that the New Testament speaks of. The image of God in us was, as Scott McKnight coined this word for the image of God being broken. He says, the image of God is cracked and is deficient. So consequently, our relationships with God and with others were broken too. And barriers exist to keep us from having healthy relationships. And so it's important to recognize and acknowledge these barriers, because when we see the barriers, we can take steps to heal broken relationships. May God help us in that. What are the barriers to healthy relationships? And then we're going to take it from this passage. One of the barriers to healthy relationships, the first one is our own sin and our own desire, our own self, our fallen state. Adam and Eve sinned against God because they obeyed their desire rather than God. I read in verse 6, where the woman saw it was pleasing to the eye and desirable, and that desire caused her and Adam to sin. Our sinful nature. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What causes fighting and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You see, our own fallen nature and our own desires, sinful desires, causes fights and disagreements. That's one barrier. And even hatred. Add to that the other problems of our fallen nature, such as our own problems and our hang-ups and our past and maybe hurts that we've had, our own prejudices, our own biases, maybe lies that we've been told. And you add to that problem the fact that not only do I have all these problems, so does everyone else. And so when I'm trying to have a relationship with someone else, they have their own set of problems too. It's a wonder where anyone gets along. So the first barrier is our own sin and selfish desire. The second barrier to healthy relationships is that we are afraid of being exposed. We are afraid for people to see who we really are. Adam and Eve suddenly felt shame and guilt when they sinned. So they covered themselves and they hid from God. Many of us fear letting others see who we really are. We spend a lot of effort, we spend a lot of energy hiding our true selves. We put on masks. There are secrets that we hide from each other and even from God, and maybe even from ourselves. I don't want you to know the real me. We're afraid of being exposed. All right? So add that. That's a barrier. The third barrier is that we tend to deflect blame. It's always someone else's fault. Never my fault. It's always someone else's fault. I've been offended. I've been hurt, and so you're to blame. I absolutely hate those Facebook pages, like the group pages where thousands of people are on. I hate it because you can't say anything without offending somebody. If you say it one way, it offends this group of people. If you side with them, it offends this group of people. It's sickening. I really don't like it. We deflect. I've done nothing wrong. Adam said in chapter 3, verse 12, well, you gave me this woman. It's your fault. You gave me this woman, and she gave me the fruit. And Eve said, well, the serpent tricked me. We're defensive. We protect ourselves. We protect our reputation. As soon as it's discovered that maybe something's wrong with us, we deflect it, and we protect ourselves, and we get very defensive. And then the fourth barrier is this. We live in a broken world. Not only we are broken, the image of God in us, but the broken state of the world that exists. Remember in the passage I read, we found that farming and gardening and growing food is going to be harder. We found that it was going to take toil and effort. We found there's going to be hurts and pains. The broken state of the world. The world can be a hard place. In our world, there is a lot of abuse. There's hurt. There's injustice. There's brokenness. There's hatred. There's jealousy. There are illnesses that we have. Physical illnesses where people die before their time. Mental illnesses. Emotional illnesses that are not our fault. They happen. The world is a broken state. It can make it hard to find our way to healthy relationships. No wonder relationships are hard. Look at all these barriers. But there's good news. Jesus came to restore the image of God in us. To help us repair broken relationships between us and God, which we found, you know, there is a broken relationship between us and God, but Jesus came to make a way to the Father and between us and each other. And there are real biblical solutions to these four barriers that I just mentioned. As I said, they're not just easy steps, but they're principles. And there is a path to healthy relationships. So I want to suggest these keys to building better relationships. All right? The path to healthy relationships. The first is, I need Christ living in me. I need to be born again. I need to accept Christ. I need for God to save me. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus that we should not perish but have everlasting life. I need Christ. And not only that, I need him living within me. Jesus came not only to redeem and save us, which we all need, but also he came to live within us and to change us and to transform us. If you want to be transformed, we've already talked about you can't just do certain things. You need Christ to do them. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So we need to come under the power of his Spirit that he has said he's going to give us, the Holy Spirit, so we can be holy as he is holy. We need to surrender our lives to Christ and allow him to make us new and transformed. He's the one. There's a great passage. You know, when I first began preaching 37 years ago, actually 38 years ago when I went to England for a summer, I found it hard to come up with 10 minutes of stuff to say. And I would struggle and struggle. My first sermon was from Luke, Book of Luke, and it was only like 4 minutes long. That's all I had to say. I could sit here and keep talking for another 45 minutes. So, it's great. I always have to cut things instead of try to add things. But I'm actually almost done. But there's a great passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and if I had time, we'd go into that. But it's about Adam and Christ. And it calls Jesus the second Adam. It says that through Adam came death. That's the brokenness we've been talking about. But through Christ, we are what? Made alive. Changed. Transformed. Holy. How are we transformed? Through Christ. In Adam, we all died. Through Christ, we all are made alive. How are we changed and transformed? Answer, through Christ. We've got to get that through our heads. We've got to give him control. We've got to give our lives to Christ. That doesn't just mean, I gave my life to Christ 10 years ago. It means really giving up control. A whole message could be on that. Number two, I need love in helping us have healthy relationships. The great commandment, love God, love others. It's hard, but we need to learn to love others. I alluded earlier to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind, keeps no record of wrongs, unconditional acceptance. His love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. We sang that earlier. The kind of love that only God can help us with. So I need love. A lot of us need to work on that. Third, I need humility. Considering others equal or better than ourselves. Seeing the point of view of someone else. Willing to admit wrong. Willing to acknowledge selfishness. Philippians chapter 2. This is a great verse. If you might want to write it down. Philippians 2, 3 to 5. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. There is a great answer to having healthy relationships. Philippians 2, 3 to 5. In your relationships with one another, have the mind of Christ. So I need humility. And the last point, I need to forgive. Ephesians 4, 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. We learned last week in our groups the importance of forgiving one another. So I won't go into the detail of it, but not only should we forgive one another, we need to learn to ask forgiveness. Okay? So there they are. I need Christ living in me. I need love. I need humility. And I need to forgive. So there are four principles about having better relationships. The early believers in Acts chapter 2 says this, all the believers lived in wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. Maybe we can do that as well. May God help us to do that.